Open your Bibles to Matthew 22, if you could for me. That was a really great testimony from Indigo. I've never met you before, but I did grow up in the fellowship, and I can relate to some of the things you talked about. She talked about taking maybe a bit too long to come to realise, but one thing that with God is He is gracious and He is merciful, and if our heart is for Him, He will give us the time to make our way to Him, and praise the Lord for that. All right, Matthew 22, verse 29. We read, Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. And so Jesus at this time was questioned by the Sadducees at this point. If you go a little bit further down, I want to pick it up again in verse 34. So he has this this discussion with the Sadducees, and the Pharisees come by, and we read in verse 34, but when the Pharisees had heard that he put the Sadducees to silence, that was Jesus, they were gathered together, and then one of them, which was a lawyer, so he was an expert in the Old Testament, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And obviously the whole, you know, the Pharisees and Sadducees, every time they went to Jesus, all they're trying to do is trying to trip him up. And so they're asking, you know, which is the greatest commandment effectively? And putting aside the Ten Commandments, Jesus pulls these two out in verse 37, we read, and Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, is faith that we have towards God. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So we really see a faith and works thing here, where we have a faith in believing in God, and we display that through works, through loving our neighbour. It's a commandment of the Lord, and it's really the spirit of the law that we're reading here. And I just want to touch maybe a little bit just on our neighbour and loving our neighbour. I guess with our actual neighbours, we all live in a suburb somewhere. We all have a, you know, suburb. We live in some street in Adelaide or wherever you're from. And we have literal neighbours. And I guess to exercise this, you need to first know your actual neighbour. You need to know their name. You know, it's hard to love someone that you don't actually know. So that's, you know, that goes without saying. Let's go over to Revelation 3. We'll keep that thought ticking. Just tell you a little story while you're doing that. So I got a little daughter who's 6 at the moment. But when she was between 2 and 3, I used to have to pick her up a couple of times a week, and we'd be driving down South Road, and so it was after work and collect her from being looked after, and we'd drive past the Bunnings at Edwardstown there. There's that big Bunnings on sort of first floor with car park underneath. And without a doubt, every time, like I said, when she was about 2 or 3, she'd be saying, you know, Dad, that's your favourite shop. And I'd be like, it is. And because most Saturdays we were doing up the house, so we were there buying paint and all sorts of different bits and pieces. Anyway, one weekend, I asked her if she wanted to come with me. She's like, where are you going? I said, we're going to Bunnings and a couple other shops. So she came with me. She loved Bunnings because she loved the free paint samples at the time, and we used to collect those first. Anyway, went to Bunnings, and then I said, oh, we've got to go to Stratco, which was up the road. So anyway, put her in the car, pull up to Stratco, and she goes, oh, look, Dad, a red Bunnings. And have that thought in mind. We'll keep reading, and we're going to look at Revelation 3 and in verse 14. We're going to read this. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write. Now, this, obviously, we know, most of us would know about the 7 churches in Revelations and how they were actual literal churches. They were Christian churches back in that time, but obviously they represent different times we live in, and this is the one that we live in. I don't particularly want to go through all that tonight. I just want to illustrate one point. We read here, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, thou art neither hot nor cold. I would thou wert hot or cold. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So it's pretty safe to say that most of us probably don't like spewing. That's just, you know, general rule, I guess, for people. And so it's a pretty graphic example that God gives us that he doesn't like the in-between. In verse 17, but that because thou sayest, I am rich, so he's talking to spirit-filled people here, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. And I guess the only, without going to, through the whole thing here, the only thing I really want to get out of it is God doesn't like fakes. And I guess came out in our sister's testimony, when you're not, you know, walking in the Lord and you're coming to meetings, and it can feel a little uncomfortable because you know what you should be doing. But we are the real thing. We have the Spirit of God within us, and praise the Lord, we have our times where we might stray off the track, and God is merciful and gracious, and He'll always give us time and opportunity to come to Him. But just like God doesn't like fakes, a lot of people don't like fakes either. If you think about, you know, in the world, no one likes being ripped off. No one likes someone pretending who, you know, to be who they're not. And it's exactly the same with us as Christians. We're genuine Christians. And we know that through the Holy Spirit. We show that through loving our neighbor, which we read in Matthew 22 just earlier. And so in a very selfish society that we live in, showing our work through loving our neighbor is actually showing the genuineness of us being a Christian, of us following the Lord, of putting, you know, people's lives, I guess, giving them some value, because, you know, everyone is in it for themselves, and there's very little value given to life because everyone's just worried about what they want to do. And we are different. We live in a suburb. We have an influence over people where we have the truth within us, and we're able to offer that to them. And so, you know, if we are busy and we're, you know, in this life and in this world, you know, we're going to miss our neighbor effectively. Go to Proverbs 3, just while we're on that thought. So I guess if you want a title for the talk, it's not the red Bunnings. We want to be the green Bunnings. We want to be genuine. We want to be the real deal. And we want to follow the Lord in all that He has. Proverbs 3, verse 3, we'll read. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So really, I guess it's talking about all things of life. It could be our speech. It could be our, you know, what we're talking about. It's the way we conduct ourselves. It's the decisions we make. It's how we talk to other people. But let not mercy and truth, these two crucial things, forsake us. You know, when it talks about bind them around our neck, they're always with us. They're over us. In verse 4, we read, so thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And so just like God doesn't like fakes, you know, God's geared us that people don't like fakes either. And so when people see the genuineness of what we do, and that we are a Christian, that what we say is what we do, and that we also help others because we want people to, you know, enter the kingdom of God, we'll have favor both in God's eyes and in the sight of man. And I was just thinking, as I was just putting these few thoughts together, we had a neighbor a couple of houses ago that we used to live in, just in Prospect. We used to be renting there. And we had this neighbor who was around our age, and got to know him, and, you know, pretty well, actually, you know, met his fiance, had dinners together. We looked after his house. He looked after our house if we were away. He was a training pilot, so I got to go up in the air with him a few times. But the whole time we got to talk about the Lord. He ended up coming to a meeting, which was really good. But the God gives opportunity, you know, if we're open to it, to those that are around us. And it might take a little bit of, you know, pulling back our busyness and just trying to focus on the things that God wants. But God, we have our, you know, I guess I'm talking about literal neighbors in your suburb. We've got neighbors everywhere, whether you're at work or you're at the park or you're at school, whatever it is, you know, wherever God crosses cross paths with other people. But I guess on a literal, you know, sense, we have this opportunity to shine our light. And just to back up what we just read in verse 4 there, this is also about Jesus. Don't turn to this. This is in Luke 2. We read, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with men. So it's something that runs through the scriptures. All right, let's move along. Let's go to Psalm 127. Just a couple more scriptures. We'll finish off. And the other thought I wanted to just bring out is just because of the time of life that we're in with a couple of young kids, is the blessing that children bring and the opportunity it brings with your neighbour, with people you know. And, you know, you don't have to be Einstein to work out that your children interact with other children very easily, and it gives us so much opportunity to meet other people, to talk to other people, to effectively preach the gospel to other people, that we can, you know, utilise our children in that way. And it's the way God's made it. In Psalm 127, we'll just pick up a couple of verses here. Verse 3, Lo, children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them, they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak or subdue with the enemies in the gates. And I guess what I want to pull out, particularly in the middle verse there, is that I guess they are a weapon that we have. If you're a young family and you're a young couple with young kids, it is something that God's placed in your weaponry to be able to use to preach the gospel. Because, you know, it's incredible how kids just bond. I'll just give you one other example that happened to us recently, which was a blessing. Last weekend was the Aldinga outreach, and we went to a birthday party for one of our sisters here with their kid, was at Kaipo Forest. Now, we live probably a good hour from Kaipo, and we were there for the birthday, and it was good. And while we were there, my wife saw another couple who we'd met about 5 months earlier. So if you go back 5 months, around October last year, we decided to go to this Italian festival before a Sunday meeting, just to get some good food, really. And while we were there, my daughter and this other little girl hit it off and started playing. Turns out they couldn't understand each other. The other little girl was Italian, and my girl obviously grew up here, speaks English. But they just played together and they had good fun. I got to meet the father. We got to chat a little bit. Anyway, we're driving to the meeting after that event, and my wife's like, you know, why didn't we invite him to something? And I was just like, oh yeah, we should have. And it was one of those moments where you just sort of regretted that you should have done it. Anyway, fast forward to last Saturday, and we're in Kaipo Forest. You know, the first meeting we met with them was, you know, north of the city in Hectorville, and we're in Kaipo Forest, and they just happened to be there. And we knew the Lord had done that, and we knew we had to say something. So we ended up having a talk with them and spent the afternoon with them. They came back to the play, had dinner, watched the play, and had questions, and we're still in contact with them now. But that's all through a connection through my little girl. You know, that's how the Lord does things. And I guess we just use what God has. Whatever time of life you've got, we're in, you know, you've got different strengths and different weaponry that you can use. And that's all I really want to bring out of this scripture, that, you know, we can use what God has given us. Let's finish. Proverbs 16. So I guess just a thought, we're not the Red Bunnings. We live what we preach. We do what we say. We're a neighbour, you know, a good neighbour to those that are around us. We offer assistance in a practical sense. We say hello. We know who they are, because we want opportunity for them to enter the kingdom of God. Proverbs 16. Did I say that? Proverbs 16, verse 24. I'm just going to read this out of the Amplified, if you'll let me. 24 and 25. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the mind and healing to the body. So the things that we say obviously affect other people. And not everyone likes the gospel. That's pretty obvious. But there's a lot of people in need. And when we give them things that are sweet to them, that offer a way out, this can be the reaction. And here, you know, we read it here, sweet to the mind and healing to the body. Verse 25, there is a way that seems right to the man, to a man or woman, and appears straight before them, but at the end of it, the way of it is death. And I guess just closing thought, that loving our neighbour is God's way to open, you know, their heart to hear the gospel. That's just one of the things that God has done for us. I'll leave it there. What people said.